You are listening to engaging and exciting conversation on the Radiant Culture Podcast.
Get ready.
Now. What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Radiant Culture Podcast. My name is T-Mac.
And I'm Cookie Monster.
And we are joined by the ever elusive Biscuit.
What up, everybody?
The ever elusive.
How's it going?
He's elusive. When did you last see him?
Yeah, man, this dude is elusive.
I know you all thought the 2020 took me out, but I'm still here.
Now my tea is complete. I've got my cookies. I've got my biscuit.
Yeah! Today's a full house. The whole crew is here because Mr. Ever Elusive is with us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Just, you know, this guy is always out there, you know. I think he's been taken by worldly things, always thinking about making money.
Taken by worldly things.
See.
Wow. I've succumbed.
You've succumbed.
to the easy entanglements.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Yes. You're taking it there.
Yes.
Do you know what? The other day, I'm like, guys, we don't need to insert entanglement everywhere. A coronavirus advert. They had some guy, a celebrity of some sort. Well, Zimbabwean celebrity. As an old school singer. Okay, picture like Thomas Mavhumo doing a coronavirus PSA thing. Uh-huh. And he says, try your best not to become entangled in social gatherings where you don't need to be. And I'm like, why did he even use the word entangled?
It's the word of the year.
And you know what? Maybe they've always been using it and we just didn't notice because it wasn't
cool. Is that a normal thing you say? Don't get entangled in social events.
Yeah, but how often do you hear it though?
Hardly ever use the word entangled.
It's the word of the year.
Sure, the African diction has improved. Let it be.
So, yeah, what are we talking about today?
Today, we are just going to have an in-house discussion. There's no theologian today. Well, actually, I think you guys are kind of like theologians, sort of maybe.
Maybe.
China. So we're going to just be talking a little about our Christianity and how it plays out in our daily lives, especially in the area of fun. It's this three-letter word that has so much meaning packed into it, but you don't think about it actively a lot of the time. So I was just, how this came about was I was on YouTube. No, I woke up and a song was in my head. It was a song called Jesus, You're My Best Friend. Yeah, we used to sing it at youth back in the day.
Jesus, you are my best friend.
Woo.
Oh, man, that song.
Yeah, and then it took me down a rabbit hole of looking for old songs we used to sing. They are old songs. We used to sing at youth group, and I found the group Authentic. Shout out to you guys. They
Authentic.
Had so many good songs.
Oh, man.
It took me back to a place in time when I just used to have a blast, guys. Like, just being a Christian was the coolest thing, first of all. Like, I felt like I was so cool just being one.
Yeah.
And then, secondly, it was just, everything was just filled with, to the brim, with enjoyment and fun. Not in a, like, overly indulgent way, but, like, you'd look forward to Friday night youth. You'd look forward to Sunday church because you just say, oh, I'm going to see my friends. It's going to be cool. And not only seeing your friends, but even breaking down the word was something you'd look forward to so much. Like, oh, I'm going to learn something new today. This is going to be great. After that, you graduated to, you know, older groups like Cross Culture and whatever. And even those were just so energy packed.
Yeah.
And you would look forward to Saturday evenings, breaking bread. You look forward to Wednesday. So, like, everything was an adventure or even an event. And then slowly, not to say the fire dies, but now when I look at my Christian walk, like, even COVID aside, I really try to think, what am I still having fun? Like, people really have this weird perception that Christianity is boring. I don't know where they get that from, but maybe they get it from us. Maybe we look like we're bored. When someone asks you, what do you do for fun? What can you even say? Like, I don't know. I watch shows on Netflix. Is that an actual answer?
Well
the pastors.
Yeah. Well, you know what? The thing is, I think just...
And I don't
harking back to those days that you're referring to when we were in youth, and I can attest to the fact that those days were just the coolest. Like, it was so much fun. We're all up in there just praising God, worshiping God. Didn't have too many worries or cares in the world. It was just amazing. It was such a great time. Then I think what tends to happen is that as people grow older, yeah, something happens. We lose that. We lose that youthful zeal, like you put it. And then we, yeah, it's like, I don't know. It's like life just takes over. I guess there's a sense in which life itself kind of does that as a natural progression.
You're not wilding out.
More responsibilities. Now you've got to start working. Some people are now married. And people have families. People have kids. So, you know, naturally, that begins to happen. But then how? But even guys like Biscuit and myself who aren't married yet. Yeah, yeah, we're not married yet.
We're not married yet.
Shout out to all the ladies. So, I don't know. Do we still have fun? Do we still enjoy life the way we used to back then? Are we supposed to?
You know what? I'll say I still have fun. I have a different type of fun. Mm-hmm. When I was 5 years old, I probably had a lot of fun making mud houses. I was young. And that was the fun at the stage when I was young and I was discovering. When I got older, that was no longer fun. I needed to have a PlayStation. Yes, I'm old enough to remember the first PlayStation, guys. I know the new one just came out. It was about to. Anyway.
What number are they on?
Number 5, eh?
Whoa. Okay,
so it's been a minute. But that was fun for me then. Now, I don't even game that much. I have other things that entertain me. I've grown older. Things have changed. My taste, my own preferences have changed. So my idea of fun or what even entertains me isn't what used to be at that age. I don't think I could go back to cross culture. And even if it was if I was somehow able to time travel to the exact same service that I enjoyed back then as me today, I probably wouldn't have as much fun. Yeah. Because I'm not in that discovery stage.
Yeah.
There's something to be said for that newness, that new toy feeling that we have. And like Cookie kind of mentioned, the other thing about those early days is we had zero responsibility, guys. Real talk. Mostly youth, mostly young adult. And as much as people were introducing you to Christ, they weren't demanding anything of you. They were like, hey, here's this new thing. But they weren't coming back and saying, can we check your life? Mm-hmm. Can we really like break down your scotomas and your generational curses? They weren't saying any of that.
Wow, dude. you have to take it there, bro.
Hey, they weren't.
Wow.
But once you get older and now the responsibility of your choice is now put upon you, they're demanding things of you. So there's less room for just fun for the sake of fun. Just coming to praise. Now they're saying, dude, how many people have you actually ministered to? They demand things. So I don't know if that's where we get boring, or is it that our measure of boredom is being compared to our idea of fun from in the past.
Yeah, actually, maybe that might be what it is.
Well, okay. So the question, though, is that do we actually think proactively, intentionally about having fun or enjoying life, especially as Christians? Because what I see happening is that guys that are out there that are not necessarily Christians, that are not, you know, exactly church going folk, are gonna be doing stuff, you know, guys are hitting missions out there.
Yeah.
You know, every weekend, you know, it's a Friday, the bottles are out.
Mm-hmm. They actually look forward to it. Yeah.
Peeps are doing what they, and like I know guys who is clockwork, right? It's like every single Friday. The whiskeys are coming out.
Yeah.
They're chilling somewhere and the blasting beats and, of course, doing other
unwholesome things.
Yeah.
But the point is, as Christians, do we intentionally think about what we do for fun?
Mm.
Is it just what? Netflix and listen to Hillsong. What did I say?
Hillsong, the young ones.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like,
United.
Yeah, what do people do? Maybe to our listeners, this is the question I'm actually throwing at you. Like, do you guys have intentional, planned out, well thought out things that you do for fun as believers, as Christians? Or is it just, you just kind of go with the flow? Or you actually think that Christians are not supposed to have fun?
You know, I might be jumping a few steps ahead, and I may not be directly answering your question, but a thought passed through my mind. And I was listening to 1 John, the whole, which is a great book for this topic, actually.
Okay.
And in there, they were kind of talking about how it was 1 John and Peter. 1 Peter.
Oh, First John, as in the
First John, yeah.
The epistle.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they were talking about how, yes, and it is my cool streetlights audio Bible. Love that thing. Great stuff. Uh-huh. While you're driving, do your thing. You get to be a.
I need that.
A bit of a beat while you're doing your stuff. But in there, they were talking about how, you do need to let go of all the things you used to do before you knew Christ. Yeah. All the, they talked about your feasting and your drunkenness and all those sorts of things.
Right.
So when we come to Christ, we have a tendency of the fire literally burning everything. Mm-hmm. We drop all our CDs. We drop all our funky clothes.
I burnt all my DMX CDs.
I gave away my Echo One Limited watch. All that stuff.
Oh man!
I know.
Why were you giving that away?
Sure, I was. I thought I was.
You gave me a dope jacket,
though.
So, you
in
know
love
that dope
with earthly things.
That dope jacket that you gave me. I never forget.
I know it was the one with the yeah, bruh.
Ah,
I love that thing.
Dope.
I had to let go of my fat farm and, you know, all that stuff. Anyway, the
you're
point.
A slave to label.
I was a slave to label, but we let go of
Keep
all of
a
that.
A white suit.
Yes, he did, eh?
That you just wear like just for
and the shoes. No, because pastors back in those days wore white suits.
Don't in a white suit. Him and Blau would be on stage, right? This dude would be rocking a white suit.
They were one step away from relaxing their hair.
Eish.
It was, those were the days. Anyway, the point is, just like when
a pastor can say hip hop.
I forget the verse, you guys can remind me of it, where like a demon is cast out and is replaced by like seven others.
Yeah.
We cast out everything, but we never replace the fun. So, what then happens later?
You have to use it.
I know. I didn't need to use the word deep. But my point is, it's the principle. It's the principle I'm talking about. My point is, I think this is also why a lot of Christians then fall off down the way. Because they never replace that fun with the clean fun. So, eventually, the world becomes very tempting. It becomes very alluring because that source of joy was never replaced by clean joy, enjoyable joy. They begin to think themselves as boring, as lacking anything. And then before you know it, they've fallen off because that one day they decided, hey, let me go to club. I haven't been to club in 16 years. Hey, you know what? It's just been services. Let me go. And before you know, boom.
Boom. Yeah, yeah.
But because there was never replaced by a wholesome fun that is righteous.
So there's a vacuum there.
There's a vacuum that's left. So, just a thought. It had nothing to do with your question. Just another thought.
Interesting thought.
Yeah.
T-Mac, like, tell me something. You mentioned earlier that you're talking about Authentic and all these different Christian artists that you used to listen to.
Yeah.
Do you still do that? Do you still listen to fun Christian music?
Shucks.
Or, like, yeah.
No.
No?
The longest.
At all.
Okay.
Hardly.
Do you still listen to music?
Okay, I do.
At all?
My jogging mix is like.
Why are you now like
Christian
on
music.
Beyonce?
Uh-huh.
No, I've never.
It's cool.
Been in
judgment free zone.
No, I don't know. I don't seek it out.
Mm-hmm.
And the most music I listen to is more worship music, but then also when I do listen to praise, I find myself looking back. I don't actually even know currently what's out there.
Okay.
I look back at like the old Israel albums and the old Hillsong United albums because they take me back to that place where I remember just being on fire and having that passion, and then it's easy to get into it. Right now, I don't even know what's out
there. But you meant it, all right? You remember the days of your youth?
Yeah,
kinda like,
but I shouldn't be stuck there. Like, true. I shouldn't need to get my buzz by going back.
I have to listen to the
something.
Truth from like 2005 or something.
Yeah, I'm so like, especially with my Christian hip hop. I used to be a hip hop head. Now I don't even know what is out there. But maybe it's a factor of not having time to sit down and really dig for these things. Or
wait. That's a good point. That's a thing. You don't have time, so. All right, and I'm not saying this directly. I'm just kind of using the word. Are you boring because you're tried to tie down to living life now? To doing the active Christianing? Is that why we're boring?
Yeah, she's kind of boring, actually.
Guys, like, when I really think about it, I am.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what
like
I do
it used
for
to be fun.
Fun
to hang with.
Okay, Quizmaster, No, this is getting personal. I'm so fun to talk to. I just don't really go out much and do activities. And also at the time, like what I was saying in the beginning, is these activities were so intertwined with our faith.
Yeah.
Now, when I think of let me do something fun, I'm not thinking of it somehow involving my faith. Mm-hmm. It would be something totally separate. It would be let me go out for drinks with my girlfriends, mm-hmm. or let me, I don't know, cook something that I haven't cooked in, like experiment in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Something like that. It wouldn't really be something involving, let's go minister to that person. There, that one.
Right.
They look like they need Jesus. Like, it really wouldn't be that.
Which leads to another question, actually. As we grow, we collect friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just different kinds of friends. And of course, it's likely that we're going to have some friends who may not necessarily be as committed Christians as we are, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe, you know, some of those guys may not share the same values in some ways. So, like, I found that sometimes I'll connect with somebody who's maybe, you know, a business colleague or a client or something.
Beauty queen, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that happens a lot, actually. My life. So,
you know,
so you know, you end up connecting with different kinds of people. And so sometimes those guys, they don't have the same restrictions, if I can call them that, or the same, I'm trying to not use the word values or anything. They don't find doing certain things wrong.
Yeah.
The way that you would.
Mm.
How do you balance that? And I'll speak from personal experience where I'm saying that I've got some friends, guys that I went to school with, or, you know, guys that we work together on a project. They're not bad people. They're not like crazy rowdy people, but they just, you know, they're more liberal in what they enjoy doing. So sometimes they invite you on a Friday night to some place or to somebody, mm-hmm. somebody's house. They're having drinks and people are, is that, I don't know if you guys have found that happening as well. And how do you navigate that, you know, as a Christian?
Oh, me?
Yeah, well, I'm just throwing it out there.
So this is the episode I come for, eh? Anyway.
Yeah, we know you.
So how do you navigate hanging with your newfound friends or people you've managed to walk with?
Maybe old schoolmates or whatever, but they're not necessarily, they may not even be like really Christian, or maybe they are not, they don't really have the same ideas of fun that you may have. They may be a little more liberal in certain areas. So which is why I brought up the example of, you know, booze, smoking, and all of that. And for them, it's normal. And they can do that and go to church on a Sunday. And then, you know, they're like, hey, dude, let's chill. You're cool. Is that, I don't know. Like, I've had a couple of those mm-hmm. kinds of things happen. So I don't know. Like, I don't know if you guys have and how you've.
Well, I would say at, I do have friends like that, not in large number. Mm-hmm. I think when you walk this walk, by default, you scare away a lot of people who would be more intense in those areas, because your very presence is judgmental to them, even if you don't want to.
Yeah.
Just you being around makes mm-hmm. them feel judged. I remember friends who would be like, hey, Tino, hey, we can't even speak with you there because I have to watch my language and all that. It's not like I ever told them, watch your language. They just feel that pressure. But I will say as I've gotten older, I care less.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you're young, you might care more about what they think. But as you're older, you're like, listen, we're both mature. I don't like what you like. And it's okay.
Yeah.
We're all cool with that.
So do you go, or you're that person is always saying, ah, sorry, no, got something else on?
No, I'll go, but I will not conform in myself to whatever that they're doing. So I can be in a place, and it'll be very easy to see that, this person is not doing some of the things everybody else is doing and refuses to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they might be curious enough to ask and check. And that's a cool opportunity to just say, I don't do that. Why? I go to such and such a church, or whatever it is your answer will be at the time. And I think that's good. But it's also dangerous to stay in those situations for too long, really speaking.
But isn't that a problem, though, that it seems like the world, if I can use that term, is more fun.
Yeah, let me just define fun quickly. According
go ahead.
The dictionary. There's obviously no Christian definition of fun. There's just standard, which means it means enjoyment, amusement, or light-hearted pleasure. So we're not talking about like wilding out and going crazy and overindulging in stupid things. But we're just talking about just like having a good time.
Yeah.
Just regular enjoyment. Didn't C.S. Lewis write a book about something about joy? Actually, it was just
Surprised by Joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is that about? Actually, I'm mentioning it by doing
that. I haven't read that book.
But didn't you read the one, the John Piper one?
Yeah. Desiring God.
Is that the one about having fun?
Yeah, well, there's several where, I mean, John Piper then goes on a whole theological trail where he gets really deep into this stuff. And I guess we can get to that a bit later in the discussion. But I think, you know, the thing is, like I mentioned earlier, I almost find that sometimes we don't think through what fun means.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us spend so much time at church or among church people or within church circles that our whole lives revolve around church.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think
maybe that's what we're using to fill that vacuum mentioned.
I think that's a dangerous thing, though. Surely church can't be your whole life.
What are those people doing now in churches?
You see now, there's no church. What do people do? And yeah, man.
Yeah, I think you're right. We overdoing church. I'm saying we're overdoing church. We're taking the death to self thing, maybe not understanding it correctly. Mm. It is death to self, which is meant to be then obedience to Christ, sure. But it's not death to your personality and your likes and your interests. Those aren't necessarily, well, some of them are being crucified, but not every single last one of them. And I think we end up just putting them to the side because we're saying everything needs to be about the mission. Everything needs to be about all of this rather than realizing that, yeah, there's a ministry through your existence and your life, and God wants you to have fun too, to have a joy in this gift. Life is a gift.
Yeah.
We're supposed to enjoy the gift
of life.
It's not a job. It's actually a gift.
Yeah,
so
you don't want to, because I felt like I was now getting to a stage where I can make it to heaven, but like God would be like, girl, why were you looking so sad all the time? Like, you got here, but you're looking like a lemon. Why are you so sour? Have a bit of fun. Loosen up, girl. Like, you had all those opportunities to inject some joy into your life, but you didn't take
and
them.
I love something that Biscuit said here, which is that life is a gift. And there's that scripture, I think it's Psalm 118, verse 24, if I'm correct, which says that, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Mm-hmm.
I will rejoice. I like the version that says, let us rejoice and be glad in it. And that's become like the scripture for me that I almost say to myself every morning when I wake up. It's become like my tradition.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm just like, every day is a gift that God has given me. It may have its challenges. It may have its issues. But it's a gift. So if life is a gift, right, God wants us to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And so if we become so uptight, if we are so scared that, I don't know, man, like we're so scared that so-and-so is going to see me, or I'm a church person, so I can't do this, or I can't do that, or I can't wear this. Yeah, I know that's a whole nother discussion. But I just feel like sometimes as believers, the things we do are not even really driven by internal conviction. We just do it because we're trying to maintain an image or a perception that people have of us. And then we don't have fun. We don't enjoy. And then we're just so boring to be around. You know,
I'd say that taps into the notion that it's so odd in many Christian circles that we're all expected to be the same type of Christian. There's we're meant to fit into this mold. But there's 7 billion of us. And God knows every single one of us and knows that we're all very different.
Yeah.
So we can be Christians, yet really enjoy different things and have fun in different ways. Some guys like go-karting, some guys like movies, some guys like having coffee, some guys like skydiving.
Yeah.
But then when it seems as though some it's now like
soccer.
You're a Christian, it's like you must be spending all week at all night prayer, you must be coming to all the services, you must not be seen in these places where the viciousness and whatever happened. I don't know. It's like kind of just put into this box and you could lose your personality in it. We forget to be you as well and enjoy life.
Yeah.
Or you use it as an excuse to stop finding the joy in life.
Yeah.
To stop looking for new things to do. Because there's a lot of really good, healthy, fun stuff out there that will not corrupt your soul.
Yeah.
That you can do. But we're all just like, ah.
And I think also there's an element, not of guilt, but you forget that you can just have fun for the sake of fun. It doesn't have to have a huge agenda behind it. Like, no, we're going to go here and we're going to do this activity. And then afterwards, we'll do an altar call. Sure, like, you could also just go and have a good time.
Yeah, true. So true. You know, this is such a good topic because I'm just thinking about how we can be as Christians that we forget the attractiveness of the message that we carry. We forget the attractiveness of the life. God is life. God is joy. The scripture
life
that you
abundant.
The scripture that you spoke about earlier, that John 10:10, you know, that he wants us to have life and life more abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at all these things. Jesus speaks about joy, you know, the joy that he wants us to have in John 17. And so, but do we still have that joy? You know, would we say that our lives are punctuated by joy? Has joy become a peripheral thing in our lives, or is it the central thing? And I think that has a lot to do with often the way that we do church, the way that we think, the way we get so we just get so stuck up in these things, and then we just like lose ourselves, you know.
No, I agree with that. And I think that's also the case for the world as a whole to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
Joy is a periphery thing. And that's why it's always taken so... finding it is such an intense activity.
Yeah.
So you do your week at work. Yeah, totally hating it. And then Friday, Saturday, boom, you go way over the top to get that hit of joy so you can make it through the week. But we're supposed to actually be having a hit like... every day, constantly, as tough as our lives will remain to be, the joy is meant to be there every day. And I'm thinking,
the kingdom
the joy
of God
in the morning,
is
joy of the Lord,
peace and joy. So the joy is definitely in there. He meant it to be part of our lives.
So maybe what we can discuss is what are some practical things that Christians can do to have
fun.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys want to use personal examples or if you guys are also lacking in this area. Or I don't know. I think there's options of things that we can you know, discuss about what people can do for fun.
I would say, because this for me, like just a guiding principle in life in general, I try everything at least once, as long as it's not harmful.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes
like marijuana can be medicinal.
It can be medicinal, not in this country though. But it can be medicinal.
There you go. Thank you for that.
But sometimes we're scared to even attempt to even go there.
Mm-hmm.
We know what is harmful. Yeah. I think we're clear on that. Like you said, we're not talking about the wiling out kind of fun here. We already know the things you really just should avoid. But other things, shy. If someone invites you somewhere, don't immediately just not go because you think the person's a heathen. And therefore, you won't go where they go. go. They said come to the baby shower, whatever it is. Go.
Yeah.
It's okay. So I think first step is to just be a bit more open to the idea that maybe you're bored or you're boring because you're still doing what you've always done.
But I've heard though that those kitchen parties can be baby shower is bored. But I'm just saying, I just want to maybe just avoid kitchen parties.
Well, you never invited your guy.
I've just heard things.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been to some.
Apparently they can suck out all the fun.
Yeah. What? They get stuck out all the fun.
Because, like, yeah. Anyway, carry on.
I'll say, all right, first one, easy one for everybody. And this is not even just Christians, it's just people in the world in general. Shall I find a sport, eh? Like, you know, just
a sport. Physical activity.
Just any physical activity. That's just a start.
Dude, what is your physical activity?
Does gaming apply?
I think gaming is a pro sport these days, yo.
No. That is you sitting on a chair or a beanbag.
Mental exercise.
And
dexterity.
And looking at a screen.
Yeah, why
yes,
talking
your
business.
Thing that's
yeah,
moving is your fingers.
Yes, and I'm talking to people internationally. I'm forming relationships with people in Uzbekistan.
Oh,
I guess your fingers are moving.
Come on, but that's not exercise.
Okay, fine. Maybe not just gaming, but you know, I love that. You know, you're pentakill. Anyway, fine. Maybe not that, but. Like, I think last month or the month before, a friend of mine was like, hey, there's a marathon happening. And I was like, marathon? He's like, yeah, it's just a 10K marathon. I was like, yeah, I don't run. It's like, just. For them, it was just. But they were like, just come and do the thing. And then I got busy on the day, but I actually had, like, gotten ready and said, I'm coming for the run. Just to do it, there's no harm in even something as simple as that.
I like
that. Is a form of fun. Yeah. So you don't have to go and do, like, a sevens rugby or something, but. You can find any ob sport. If you want to go play pool, play pool. Maybe that's your sport. Mm. But it will at least get you in a new environment. You meet new people. You have something different happening. So that's one. I don't know. Can you guys?
I would say things like just hangouts. Like organize a braai with the guys or with the girls. Yeah. Right? I don't know if girls do braais, but okay, you invite us, then we'll do
tea.
The braai. We'll
you guys do tea? I love having tea.
Yes, and then you do the whole tea thing or the whole high tea thing. I don't know if like the tea makes you high, but like, you know, just
because for that I'm coming.
Yeah, I'll be there. So like, I think there's intentional things that we can do. I know with my friends, we often get together and we just chill, do a braai, and you know, and we literally just no agenda. We just chill, have fun, have a cooler box, you know. And meat. Yeah. And, yeah.
Another big popular one, which we've done many times, is just even a games night.
Yeah.
I guess that's pretty close.
Yeah.
The same kind of idea. You can have a lot of fun just going at each other, playing normal games. Mm. It's actually good. So.
But now with these curfews, it's a bit difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, just dodge. It's dodge the cops.
Wow.
Yeah, it is a bit tricky with the curfews. But play them with your family.
Yeah.
And that's a close enough.
Okay, cool. No, guys, I'm still saved. I'm just, so you know, listen, I'm just trying to offer some.
We know you now have cop homies. As you said, you've been giving cops lifts. So you think you can just name drop in your court after
those
curfew.
Those are my boys.
I know, you got to have some friends.
Yeah, the games night idea, I think, is a brilliant one. And then.
But you know, some people even overthink that because apparently cards are evil.
How are cards evil?
Actually, I mean, I've heard some theories, the pictures on whatever. Anyway, and also that they used in Makassi. You know, I mean, that's some people who are really like.
But on that note,
they just be like, no, sorry, can't do that.
Maybe that's why people.
Why
are restricting?
Why do we? If we serve,
I mean,
this,
I'm sure it's
if we serve an all-powerful God, who's able to, guys, God created the whole world, guys. God is. Big God is powerful. I don't know why sometimes as Christians we, you know, we limit God to our own little idea. So we're scared to go to certain places because we're scared that, like, I don't know, demons will jump into us. I don't know what the problem is, but I just think a lot of our theology needs to be revisited.
I don't think it's that, honestly, in terms of going to certain places. I really think it's more of who will see me here. And what will they think if they see me here? Never mind the fact that they're also
bad,
there.
That's also bad theology.
Yeah, that's bad theology because you shouldn't even be worrying about what they... Okay.
Right.
Caveat.
Yeah, please.
You don't want to lead people astray. That's the caveat, sure. But if you also understand this, what I'm doing here is not... Being seen as stoicinical is not leading people astray.
Obviously, we're not talking about.
I'm just saying, someone might be like, I saw him standing in the front, in front of the poster that said, "Ghost in the Shell." What ghost is he
what
talking
he
about?
Watching?
Is
what's
he
watching?
The Holy Ghost?
Which ghost? No, I was just at the cinemas, guys.
And that's another option as well. The whole movie thing. Like, you can just like go watch. I know we've gone to watch every single Marvel movie that's come out. You know, it's like a tradition. So, And then we do, well, before the lockdown, we have Sunday lunches after church.
Yes, yeah.
You know, we'll go to the village,
yeah,
do lunch together. So stuff like that, I think, is stuff that you can do together as friends, as Christians. And and I don't think it has to be anything expensive per se. You can do like, you can do simple stuff that fits your context.
And on that, I will add that, speaking of the Sunday breakfast and so on,
yeah,
when I was younger, I would never have thought that I'm going to grow up to enjoy having Sunday breakfast.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a... I mean, when we're growing up, we're thinking, yo, I'm going to be like doing all this crazy. But you're now there and you're like, yo, guys, Sunday breakfast, let's do this.
And now we're like the uncles.
We're
like
uncles.
The kids there, having to take Kyle to the toilet.
Yeah.
All of that. Like, man.
I think our taste changes, as I mentioned before. And we've also, remembering that we are in the world but not of it, we're always going to look like we're not quite fitting in. They'll be like, you guys are so boring. We're having a blast.
Yeah.
But to the world, it's like, really, guys? That's all the fun you're going to have?
Yeah.
They may not understand our new taste in fun, which is okay, too.
Yeah. Well, I guess, you guys, like, people know other things. Then there's the whole thing about events, because the different events that happen, concerts and all sorts of other things. With things like that, I think you have to gauge for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you're going to see the kind of, maybe if it's a concert, you know the kind of artists that are going to be there.
Yeah.
And some of those things you then have to gauge for yourself, whether that's something that that suits who you are as a person.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're going to go with your homies, you go together. There's also clever, practical ways that we can do these things. Then there's obviously certain events that you're just like, you know, it may just end up being a bit,
you're going to Judgment Yard.
I like Judgment Yard.
Hey, I went once, eh? It was interesting.
Yeah. Or like you go to a Zim dance concert, chances are people are going to end up fighting there. So, listen, I'm not hating on Zim dance or anything here.
Yeah.
Love you, soldier, love. So, listen, guys, I just think there's practical things that we can do, but let's be intentional.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Let's be intentional. Let's not be boring. Yeah.
And another thing I would point out, especially when it comes to events, because I do go to one or two, and you're going to be judged no matter what. Someone is going to judge you at some point. If they see you at a rally, a Christian rally, you'll be judged.
Yeah.
Because they'll be like, that preacher is a false preacher. You're going to be judged. If you then go to your... I was going to use a bad example. I'll find another musician. If you go to a Chris Brown concert, you're going to be judged there too. I'm not saying you should or shouldn't. I'm just saying you'll be judged there too.
Mm-hmm.
If you sit at Pariah, just sit.
Yeah.
Even though it's pretty much a coffee shop during the day, just sit there. You're going to be judged to some extent.
Yeah. I remember there were people who had issues with me going to News Cafe when News Cafe was still here.
Because,
you know,
weird.
And I'm just like, so there's always going to be things where, and you also then need to apply wisdom, I guess, right? If you're somebody who's in a leadership position, then of course you've got to be careful about the kind of perception that you create. But that's also now to do with the fact that it's got to be driven by conviction, always, not because you're trying to fit into an image. And then if you go to one of those weird churches where they just have like weird rules about everything, right? I think the first question you should ask yourself is, are these rules even godly? Like, is it even biblical, or is it just traditions that a certain church has held for a long time that have nothing to do with God? I actually think, just be careful of churches like that, because if like anything that ends up taking away Christ as the center of your life and replaces that with some rules and traditions and all kinds of dogmas, then like, why are we going back to the law? Like, is that even godly? So ask yourself that, or just like leave.
Yeah, you've got to
do it.
No, you
actually have the perfect verse.
Yeah.
It's Psalm 16, verse 8 to 11. So verse 8 says, like, in terms of what Cookie just said, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand and I shall not be shaken. So, yeah, that whole thing of setting God always before you.
That's good.
Keeping Christ at the center, like what you just said.
That's so good.
And then it's verse 9 says, therefore my heart is glad. and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. So that's kind of like what you were saying, Biscuit, Patricia. You just need to be secure, knowing your relationship with God, knowing that you're not looking for, you're not trying to be naughty.
Don't be naughty.
You're looking for mischief. Like, you just be secure in the decisions that you make. Otherwise, when you do go out looking for fun, whatever, you'll be overthinking the whole thing to the point where you won't even have fun because you'll be thinking, what if I'm senior? What if? So just dwell and be secure in your relationship with God. And then verse 11 says, you make known to me the path of life, i.e. he's not going to lead you down some random path, some random place, unless there's a specific person, I guess, you're supposed to find and minister to. I don't know. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there's fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
This is such a beautiful scripture. God is not boring.
He wants you to have pleasures. Not pleasure one. Pleasures, plural.
Not pleasure.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's in the word, but I think we don't think that that's what it's saying when you read that scripture. You think, oh, no, pleasures. Surely he's talking about praise and worship or something. I don't know. But, yeah, our life is supposed to have joy and pleasures in there.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay as a Christian to like certain things, to look nice and like fashion and... Like, man, like, be cool and all this. It's all right. Like, you don't have to be boring, you know? And
if you don't like that stuff, it's fine.
And if you don't like it's cool. Right? Like, if you want to look like a nun and stuff, it's okay.
That's
cool.
That's your thing. But if you really, really, really like to, you know, dress up and enjoy it, it's not a crime to do
play,
so.
Honey.
Yeah. Play. I want to share something quickly. just in line with this. It's something that I got from... Ravi Zacharias, from one of his books, where he talks about pleasure, and he's talking about the parameters of pleasure. And he says that anything that, he says all pure pleasure will keep you within the presence of God.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. And he's saying that if in order to enjoy something, you have to shut God out, then you have to check that.
A really good guideline, yeah.
Right. And then he gives three principles. They're a bit long, but I'll try to shorten them. The first principle he says is anything that refreshes you without diminishing, destroying or distracting you from your ultimate goal is a legitimate pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's like any pleasure any pleasure that distracts you from, diminishes or destroys your end goal is an illegitimate pleasure. That's actually how he puts it.
Yeah.
And he uses the scripture, the Gideon scripture, where Gideon is sent, he is supposed to reduce the army that he has, and God sends him to like a river, and he says, the ones that lap like dogs, the water like dogs, those are the ones you're keeping, and all the other ones were like, put their whole face into the water, all those ones are going home. Right? And he's saying that those guys were so distracted by what they were doing that they forgot what the mission was.
Yeah.
So that's like the whole principle there, that is what you're doing distracting you from the ultimate goal, which is obviously to serve God, to honor God. The second principle, he says, anything that jeopardizes the sacred right of another person is an illegitimate pleasure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if what you're doing is going to harm another person, if it's going to bring, if it's something that's going to mean someone else has to get harmed in the process, then already that's something that is not godly. Then the third one, he says, any pleasure, if not kept in balance, will eventually lead to destruction and destroy appetite or something like that. And he uses the scripture, the one in Proverbs, where Solomon says, eat honey, my son, but not too much of it, or else you will vomit.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So everything has to be kept in balance. And
eat honey, not honeys.
You check now. You've got...
Don't eat the honey. Don't eat the...
So I think just having those principles to guide us, to say, if I'm enjoying this, is it distracting me from something that is important, something that is my ultimate goal, which is obviously to honor God? Is this thing going to cause harm to another person in any way? So, of course, you know, you then obviously think of relationships, of things that people do, and people end up getting hurt.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then lastly, the whole keeping pleasure and balance. And I think if we kind of have principles that guide us like that, I think it will also help us to know what is good fun and what is bad.
I like that. Those are very good guiding principles, because they capture everything, including some of the stuff we already consider as safe, like you said, going to praise and worship and all of those things. You can get so wrapped up in that you forget God himself,
yeah,
whilst you're doing that,
yeah,
which means it would fit into this category. You're having a blast, but you've totally lost everything else. So yeah, I think that those are very good points.
Yeah.
Or you're doing it just to be able to say,
yeah,
I was at all night, or I was at Wednesday prayer and Friday prayer, so people can think you're
mm-hmm.
holy.
You're
but you're
deep.
Not really doing it for that reason.
Yeah.
Cool. So, yeah, so, guys, I think, you know, there's a lot that we can do as Christians. And, you know, we're just thinking of extra things that we can do. I guess this is now more in terms of things you can actually watch. There's this series that's come out called The Chosen, which is basically on the life of Jesus. And, ah, man, it's really dope. I think it's like the dopest Jesus film.
Is that the one where they've got black people?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I actually saw the back, like the just all the backstory behind it and how it came about. So there's so much research and work that went into it, where they consulted with different authorities and different things, like New Testament authorities, historians, theologians, even like different denominations, where people were coming together to, because they wanted to create a picture that was, I guess, as accurate as possible,
mm-hmm. yeah.
about what was actually going down during those days. So obviously part of it is also fictitious and whatever, but it's just amazing. And at the end of every episode, there's a whole thing that you can watch where there's the whole like discussions that they have about how it was all put together. So it's fun. It's fun to watch. And it also teaches you a lot about the context within which the Bible was written. Mm-hmm. So I think things like that are things that we can enjoy. Then, you know, there's obviously also books. I find reading very pleasurable. Like, I really, really enjoy reading, especially as I grow older. I'm not that old. But especially as I grow older, you know, I just find that I like reading. It's just it's actually become a very pleasurable experience for me. And that's something that we can all do. Maybe we can, I don't know, I can recommend books. Yeah, I don't know. If
we
you guys
should
have
a top, like, a list of book recommendations. Actually, on the website, there's... On the Radio and Culture website, do we still do the playlist? Yeah, so there's things like that. Remember how in the beginning you were talking about me not being up to date or really not knowing that much Christian music? That's another place. Like, if you go to the Radio and Culture website,
yeah.
a weekly playlist where we post different types of Christian music. It's not always the same artists over and over. It's a range of different ways of praising God. So you could definitely... I think I went, yeah, the last time I went there, they had Zambian or Nigerian, but they had one song from him. And then I went on YouTube and I found a whole bunch of other songs from him. And whenever I'm playing it in the office, people are like, this is not great. I'm like, you listen to the words. This is very much Christian music. And I like it because it's that Afro funk punk. I don't know what it's called. What's it called? Afro beat. Hey, that one. It's like Afro beat, but it's Christian. I was like, yes, this is so me. So, yeah. I think sometimes we just don't know where to look. So Radiant Culture has a lot of resources. Whether you like to read, whether you like to listen to music, whether you want to listen to podcasts. So like there's a lot on there that can keep you occupied. Mm-hmm. And find some pleasures there.
Some pleasures. Because, you know, at the end of the day, guys, we serve a God who's alive, who's full of life. And we should be full of life.
Yeah.
You know, we really should be radiant.
Yeah.
And people should come to us for life.
Something I started recently, I really like listening to podcasts, all like a range of different topics, from conspiracy theories to sermons to business podcasts. So
I've been listening to have you listened to the podcast Dictators?
No.
Yo.
Is that a podcast one?
It's a podcast one, yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm giving them free advertising. Edit that out, producer.
Wait until Radiant Culture has the same show. That's for you, audience. ignore everything that's been said.
So, but the thing is with the podcast, it's just a solo activity.
Yeah.
For the most part, you're listening to it maybe while you're doing something else, but you're doing it alone. So I formed a group of fellow podcast enthusiasts. Hmm. And every fortnightly, we kind of just said, okay, what sort of topics do we want to, are people interested in? And then every week, you know, every other week, someone has a podcast. We all listen to it. Then on a Sunday night, we discuss it. And then we do a closing prayer at the end. Like, it's been really cool because my podcast taste is kind of narrow in some regards. Mm-hmm. And then you're listening to something else someone else listened to and that really liked. And then you end up learning so much. Like, I don't know everyone in the group that well.
Yeah.
But it's been so fun. Like, I look forward to it. Like, Sunday, yay, we're going to discuss the podcast. So
that's pretty cool.
A way cool. I like that. I've made a solo activity, something that I can do with people.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. So, you see, like, guys, there's just so much stuff we can do. We can be creative about these things. And it also takes us being intentional. Not wait to be invited. If no one invites you, then maybe you be the one to start something. Yeah. You create something. And then, like, if you want some ideas, maybe you can reach out to us. We can help and see how we can do this together. But I just definitely think that there's more stuff we can do as Christians, even right now in this lockdown, to enjoy, to keep that life and to keep that fire.
Fire. Yeah.
Definitely.
All right. I think we're done now.
Awesome. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Please go check out the Radiant Culture website. You will find a lot of really good stuff on there. And we will see, well, not really. Next week, we shall connect with you.
We shall.
Peace out.
Peace.
Later.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Radiant Culture Podcast. If you want to make a contribution, make a suggestion, or have a request, you can get in touch with us via email on radiant@thehub.co.zw or inbox us on Facebook and Twitter. Look out for the next episode and remember to share this one with everybody you know. God bless.
It's hot. It's fresh. It's uncut. #RealTalk on the Radiant Culture Podcast.